So good evening again to everybody. Thank you very much for coming. It's late. You've probably been learning hard all day. I appreciate you staying up for a little bit more focus. Expect nothing less from Shana Bet Mechala. It's good anyway that you did it. Thank you again to Ms. Markowitz for asking me to speak. It's a big kavod to be asked to speak. Very happy to teach you. Be happy to teach you more. And we are on source three, sheet three rather, of this three-part series. Just to recap what we did on the first two, so that you can see where they all fit together. On the first sheet, we looked at the basic Torah mitzvah of tzniut, which is Vayamachanecha Kodesh, the idea that the battlefield bathroom should be clean, even in situations of extreme stress, there is still a Torah mitzvah to retain a certain level of personal dignity. And we said that this was paskin in Shulchan Aruch, in private places, al yoma, no one should say, hinnei v'chadri chadorim, here I am in the most private of rooms, mi yareini, who can see me, therefore I'm going to behave however I want to behave. No, v'lochal ha'aretz kvoidoi, the world is full of kvoid shamayim, and therefore, not that there's a big eye in the sky, that's as I said, a simplistic, childish, maybe even pagan way, but a person should be conscious of the fact that they are not alone, that there is a reality to the Shekhinah, there is a machaneh that a person is in at all times in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore there's a right way and a wrong way to behave. And of course it's not the same everywhere. The right way to be dressed, the right way to behave in the shower is different from the right way to behave on the bus, is different from the right way to behave in the bedroom or in the living room, and wherever you are, one should be acting in the appropriate way for who you are, where you are, your age, your status, and all these things. Very, very subjective. That's what I said was the first basic mitzvah of Nisnias Doraisa. It's not about sleeve lengths, it's not about anything. It is about sleeve lengths, but it's not specifically about clothing. It's a general mitzvah, men, women, etc. Then in the second class, last time, 2 weeks ago, we saw that Chazal put some parameters to this, both in terms of mitzvahs Doraisa. There's a mitzvah Doraisa Das Moshe of Kisui Rosh, that a married woman has a mitzvah Doraisa to cover her hair Bashuk in public, okay? And also Dasi Hudit, which means the Jewish people's practice, that there are mitzvahs, there is a mitzvah for a Jewish person to be aware of what is the appropriate societal norm, objective societal norm for the way to dress in public and semi-public areas. Chazal, if you like, gave the framework of Das Moshe, Das Yehudit, that is the Gemara in Ksuvos, that refers to how a person should behave and dress, specifically dress, in areas which are not private. In private, you have the mitzvah d'oraisa, hinnei v'chadri chadorim. In public, you have a more objective framework. And therefore we said that the reason that women, let's talk about women, have a mitzvah to dress in a certain way is nothing to do with erva specifically. We'll talk about erva today. It's about the mitzvah of Das Moshe, Das Yehudit. And therefore, if you are in a society, we talked last time, if you are a card-carrying member, or you would be if they had cards, of a society where the Das Yehudit is to cover down to the elbow, down to the wrist, so that's what you have to do. You don't like that, so join a different community, okay? But if you're part of that community, that has been defined by the women of the community as the Das Yehudit. It could be for men as well. Do you wear a short sleeve shirt? Do you wear a long sleeve shirt? Do you wear a blue shirt? Oi. A blue shirt. There are some societies you know full well, the Das Yehudit is that you wear a white shirt if you're a guy. And if you wear a blue shirt or a pink shirt, yeah, can you imagine what a stir that would cause? In other societies, it's completely irrelevant. And you all know this. And it's not just a shtriot, it's not just a nonsense. It's a societal norm. We say that the mechubad way, the men in that society have a Das Yehudit, anyway, they dress like this and that. Fine, we talked about that last time. We talked about tights and we talked about necklines and all of these things. And hopefully you got a good feel for that last time. You can listen to the tape. I think someone recorded it. Someone will be able to show it to you. Fine. Today. So today we need to talk about erva. Because at the end of the day, erva is what everybody always talks about. Even though we've seen that really the mitzvah d'oraisa has got nothing to do with erva. And the mitzvah of what is appropriate to wear and what is not appropriate to wear has got nothing specifically to do with erva. We'll see Rav Moshe saying that explicitly. There is a sugya of erva. What is that sugya? So So have a look, please, that there are many sources on the sheet. It's shorter than the last sheet. And you've covered some of them before. I can't believe you're how old now? 20 years old? I can't believe in your 15 years of Jewish education you haven't learned at least 80% of these sources somewhere before. Almost certainly at Michlala or somewhere else. So let's go through them quickly. Please ask questions if you have any questions, and we'll see how we go. Looking number one. Ki Hashem Elokecha mitalech bekerev machanecha lahatzilcha latet oivecha lefanecha v'ayah mechanecha kodesh. That is the mitzvah d'oraisa of Sneis, v'ayah mechanecha kodesh. Lo yireb becha ervat davar. There shouldn't be seen in you an ervat davar. Now, we know what that means on the mitzvah level. It means that don't behave inappropriately. Okay? Chazal created a new din de rabbonon of ervat dibur. Have a look what it says, number two. Number three first. Says the Talmud Yerushalmi. Chad chosid sha'ala Eliyahu zochor latoy. The Talmud Yerushalmi says there was a chosid who asked Eliyahu anovi, Orum, someone who has no clothes on. Therefore, there is an erva showing. On a Doraisa level, erva is only if a person has no clothes on at all. A man or a woman. Okay? Orum, a person who is naked. Mahu sheyikra shma. Can they say the shma? Can they daven? Can they say shma? Psukim, kisvei kodesh. Can they say these things? Amalei, he responded to him, no. The law yircha ebracha ervas davar. The pasuk it says there shouldn't be any ervas davar seen with you. Ervat dibur. Chazal created, and this is Rabbanon, a concept of ervat dibur. There is an iser of dibur in front of erva. What is dibur? Dibur is kodesh dibur. Davening, learning, krishma, tehillim, brochas. Okay? There is an iser, the Rabbanon, to say any of those things, Talmud Torah, Divrei Torah, in front of anything that is an erva. Okay. We haven't defined what is an erva, but that's a specific iser of dibur. Okay. Does that apply just to men and also to women? We'll talk about that in a little bit. But for now, understand that that is the mitzvah. So what is erva? What is erva? So, obviously, on a Torah level, erva is if a person has no clothes on. But still, if a person said Shema in front of a person with no clothes on, the Issa is a rabbinic Issa. Okay? But Chazal extended the concept of Erba to include other parts of the woman's body. Have a look in number four. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, this is a famous Gemara in Brachas. Tefach ba'isha Erba. A tefach on a woman's body is an Erba. Now, what is a tefach? A tefach, we'll see, is a tefach in a place that she normally covers in public. Okay? Now that might depend on her dati hudis. Meaning, which parts of her body does she cover? She goes to dati hudis and finds out. Once she knows what parts she covers, that defines what is a tefach. So again, a lady from Bnei Brak who is being naughty and uncovering her lower arm, so that will be a tefach. Whereas a lady from Yerushalayim that never covers that part of her arm, that won't be a tefach. Yes? We haven't got to that yet. We haven't talked about her transgressing anything yet.
But what is that considered?
For now, we're just looking at, for this sugya, we're just looking at the issue of him saying Divrei Torah, or maybe even her saying Divrei Torah. We'll see what that is in a minute.
What is the
what?
What is the status of Mehamad? Is that a Humrah?
No. That's your hood is. Meaning, the woman from Nebrak has to cut. The woman from Nebrak has to cover that area, not because it's Erva, although we'll see Rav Moshe has a say that if she's going around in public uncovering such an Erva, maybe that's a separate issue. She has to cover that because that's the Dashi Hudit, that's the Gemara in Ksubos. Now that she's decided she's not bothered and she's going to uncover it, now we're getting to the Sugya of Erva. Meaning, other people looking at this, what they can and what they can't say. But the reason she has to cover it is because of Dashi Hudit, which is the Gemara in Ksubos. Now she didn't cover it, we start to talk about Erva. So what is it? A tefach. The isha is an erva. Lamai, for what? So the Gemara says, Ile melista kuliba, if you're going to tell me that it's an erva, if men want to stare at her, men obviously have an issue staring at women. It's not new. It's never been any different. And it's a halachic problem. If you're telling me that a man is not allowed to stare at a part of a woman's body, which is an tefach, the lady from Bnei Brak that uncovers her wrists, and a man's not allowed to stare at that in an inappropriate way. He says, no, that's not the halacha. Ha'amar Rav Sheshi says, Lama, Mana hakasav tachshitin shebechutz in tachshitin shebitnim. When the Jewish people captured the Midianite, the Midian, so they took all of these tachshitin, all this jewelry back with them, and it lists in the pasuk, and it lists jewelry that women wore externally, and women that jewelry that women wore under their clothes. Why does it list them all together? So it says, the Gemara says here, quite famous, Lo milecha, to tell you, if a man stares, even in the little finger of a woman, which is always uncovered, there's nothing to do with tefach. If a man stares at a woman inappropriately, with some kind of sexual context, even etzba katana is the most classic area of a woman that's never covered. Women never cover their hands. I suppose in Minnesota they wear gloves. Okay? But, normally speaking, people don't cover their hands. If a man looks at that, shall isha ke'ilu mistakel b'mokam atzarif. It's as if he looked at her in the most intimate way. In other words, don't tell me that a man is not allowed to look at a woman inappropriately from the sugya of tefa. He's for sure not allowed to look at her. There's an issa doraisa of a man to look at a woman inappropriately anywhere. Where does that come from, by the way? Where is that issa doraisa of a man to look inappropriately at a woman, even an etzba katana? What does it say in the pasuk? It's not on the sheet. I mean, it's later on the sheet, but you won't find it. Do you know? The loisa suru achrei levavchem v'achrei nechem. Don't go following your eyes around, say, in appropriate places. That's an issa doraisa. We'll see the Mishnah Berurah talk about it soon. So the tefach has got nothing to do with him looking at her inappropriately. That's already osa for sure. So what is the tefach? So the Gemara says, Ella, end of the second line, the ishtoi, it's talking about his wife. Meaning, there's no issa for a man to look at his wife in a sexual way at all. Why would they not have a relationship with each other? That's good that they have a relationship with each other. But a tefach is still a tefach, even the ishtoi, the kriyat shema. Meaning, if a woman is uncovering a tefach of a place of her body that she normally covers, even if she's allowed to, she's in front of her husband, they're in the house, she's wearing something with short sleeves, in the house with just her and just him, she's allowed to do that. What's wrong with that? There's no problem with datihudit. It's not inappropriate for her. There's no hinle b'chadre chadorim, like she'd be embarrassed if people knew. No, it's fine. She's dressed 100% correctly. But she's uncovering parts of her body that is normally covered. Tefach. For Kriyat Shema, he's not allowed to say Kriyat Shema when he's looking at those parts of the body. I mean, tefach is a halacha in him saying brachas, Kriyat Shema, Tefillah, etc. People who want to learn tefach back into the sugya of tznius are making a big mistake. And Rav Berkowitz said this many times. You know, the people talk about silent. Well, you have to cover to here, but then you have a tefach, you know, in you've heard all this, the whole discussion. So what's that got to do with anything? What's that tefach got to do with? Why do you have a tefach on top of your dati hoodies in terms of what you're allowed to dress up? Where did that come from? The whole concept of tefach has nothing to do with dati hoodies. It doesn't give you, it doesn't permit or not permit what you're allowed to wear. And therefore that's just a mistake. It's just incorrect in halacha. That you don't have an extra. I know there are people that want to learn that way, but Rabbuka is very clear that it seems from the sugyas clearly that that's not correct. But tefach is an inyan for the man, even beishtoi for Kriyat Shema. I'm a Rav Chisda, and the Rav Chisda then explains that Chazal extended erva drabonon to a bunch of other things as well. Shoik beisha erva. If a woman uncovers her thigh again, not in public. That's a dat yehudit issue, okay? But in private, okay? That's an erva. Shneemar, and he brings a pasuk in Yeshayahu, two psukim, one in Yeshayahu, in Memzayin, and then later in Memzayin. Amar Shmuel, kol beisha erva. If a woman wants to sing, okay, and there are men listening, that's an erva, durabonon, meaning if a man is listening to a woman singing, and he's not allowed to say krishma, he's not allowed to say brocha, he's not allowed to bench, etc., etc. Again, kol isha is a halacha on who, on the woman or the man? On the man. So is a woman allowed to stand in public and sing? No. Also, where do we learn that from? That could be part of it. Lifnei Eva could be part of it. There's definitely an issue of Lifnei Eva. But that's ultimately, you go back to the issue of tzniut. What is appropriate behavior for somebody of your age, of your status, etc., etc.? Is a 5-year-old girl allowed to stand and sing? I would have thought so. But it depends on who you are and where you are, etc. For a grown woman, for a woman or of the age of whatever it is, stand and sing in public. So in the old days, the old yekas, they used to have choirs and mixed choirs, and they had old sugyas that what was appropriate, what wasn't appropriate, mixed, etc., etc. And you couldn't hear this voice, you couldn't hear that voice. That's a whole different shaila. But the kol isha issue here is on the man. So it's on the man. Is he allowed to listen to a woman's voice and say divrei Torah? If he's listening to a woman's voice with sexual intent or inappropriate intent, that's a different area altogether. He's for sure not allowed to do that. But let's say it's not that. It's just he's saying brachas, he's saying shema, his wife singing. His wife singing in the house. Is there any problem with his wife singing in the house? No. Can he say shema? No. So he'll wait till she's finished singing and he'll say shema somewhere else. Or he'll ask her nicely, you know, do you mind if I say shema and then you can please continue, it's very nice, you know. Or whatever they tell you to say when you have marriage classes. Nice things you have to say to your wives and husbands. Or give that. Whatever. So, at the end of the day, kol isha is the issue for the man. And finally, Amar Rav Sheshit, seyar ba'isha, erva. A woman's hair, if she's married, is an erva. Again, the Rabbonim, Shneimar, it says, brings a posuk in Shir HaShirim, sarech ke'eder ha'izim. Your hair is like a flock of goats. Which, by the way, is very nice. I mean, if you've seen flocks of goats, you know, on the hillsides, all wavy and, you know, it's beautiful, I suppose, if you're into flocks of goats. But it's a praise for the Shir HaShirim. Now, Rav Moshe has a very interesting child. Let me ask you a question. A woman's hair is an erva. Where would you expect to learn from a halachic source that a woman, her hair is an erva? So the question is, what's with the soita? Look at number 5, it's a fascinating source of emotion. Well, if he only is going to near a riot, I'm going to bring you amazing proof. May I have a sort of hutsurah for Rav Sheshis for Brachas? Rav Sheshis in the Gemara in Brachas. He has the hochiyah to prove the seir beisha erva, that a woman's hair is erva. Mikra de sarech ke'edeh ha'izim, from the posik of your hair is like a flock of goats. Shu krab divrei Kabbalah. It's a posik in divrei Kabbalah. It's in Nach. V'rak misvara ba'alma. It's a svara. It's a rabbinic svara. Shu mid mishabeach la krab, from the fact that the posik praises a hair. The gavak in the perish Rashi. Rashi explains it. Why doesn't he bring a posik from Sota? It seems so much more obvious he should bring a posik from Sota. Do we know from the Sota a woman's not allowed to go out with her hair covered, uncovered in public? Surely it's a place which is therefore has to be covered. Makes it erva. Elavada, look at what Moshe says. It's very critical. Last line. Elavada sheha issa lelech magula. The issa for the woman to walk around with her hair uncovered. Loi haya oisa eva said within erva. That doesn't make her hair erva. That's got nothing to do with erva. Where is there a halacha that she has to cover her hair in public? Where do we know that from? Soita, Dat Moshe, Ksubas. Nothing to do with erva. Therefore, he has to go to Shir HaShirim to find a separate posik because there's this din d'rabbanan of erva, shoyt, and seyar, and kol. It's got nothing to do with her covering her hair. We don't even bring that as a raya from the fact that she has to cover her hair. It's a separate thing. Her raya in the house, maybe she doesn't have to cover her hair. There's a whole big debate what the women have to cover in the house. Let's say you go with a shita, which is quite widespread, that a woman doesn't have to cover her hair at all in the house. She's with her husband. So, is she doing anything wrong? No. Is her hair an erva? Yes. Can the husband say kriya shema and brachas? No. So let him go somewhere else. Turn the other way, etc., etc. So you see very clearly that erva is a separate thing. One thing is erva, another thing is what she has to cover and what she doesn't have to cover. Now, there is a Rav Moshe that throws everyone into a bit of a tumult that talks and says that, look, Mistama, if something has a din of erva in public for her to walk around uncovering it, is noch a din in sneers. Look, have a look in number 6. It's also a din. Sorry, I lapsed into a little bit of Yiddish there because noch, also. Speak Yiddish. I was amazed that when I grew up, I didn't speak Yiddish when I grew up, but my grandparents used so much Yiddish, I thought it was English. I didn't know. I thought everybody said these words. And then when you read them in the Mishnah Berurah in Yiddish, you think, oh, wow, I used to say that. Like pickled cucumbers. What do you call them in America, pickled cucumbers? Pickles. So I didn't know they were called pickles. I called them ugukas. I never called them ugukas. Until I started speaking to the non-Jewish people and they did. Like, what are those things? And then I realized they were called pickles. Anyway, that's just about me. It's not important. Okay, fine. I can go to a therapist and talk about this. I don't have to come to you and talk about my Yiddish issues. Okay.
Look at Rav Moshe number 6. Says Rav Moshe, and this is the Rav Moshe which causes everyone to ask what's going on. Kaven shekala rosh hu makom amuchusa. Since we know that she has to cover her hair from Dat Moshe, yesh la osa, then she you're not allowed to uncover it. Mimela midin erva, from the fact that it's now an erva as well. Kamoy mekamas amuchusa shevigupa, just like the places that are covered in her body. The asha ein lemele zebe yichel mikra de parashachish. Even though we're not learning this from Sota, meaning he's very clear. Sota is a din in Dat Moshe, Mark Subas, that's where we know she has to cover her hair. Now we know that the head is in covered place. Asura midin erva. Now it takes on another din because of erva de alma kasharam akonis. Meaning, Rav Moshe seems to be adding that once a thing has a din of erva anyway, she didn't have to cover it because it was an erva. She had to cover it because it was dasi hudit. But now that it's an erva for her to go away, go outside and uncover it in public, how can that be tsanu? It seems to be what Rav Moshe is saying. Meaning, now that I know that a tefach is an erva, so I have another reason why she shouldn't be uncovering a tefach in public, apart from dasi hudit, because how can it be tsanua v'hayach machanech hakodesh to walk around uncovering in public an erva which is an erva? That's the way I understand Rav Moshe. But at the end of the day, her ikka mitzvah to cover it is not from the erva, it's from the dasi hudit. Yes?
So isn't that like people say, you could honor relentless?
You can uncover less than a tefach of what? Of hair?
Yeah.
No, the less than a tefach of hair is like this. Rav Moshe says like this. The tefach of hair is different from the tefach in erva. The tefach of hair, Rav Moshe says, is if you uncover more than a tefach of hair, that is the amount that the Kohen uncovered on the Soter, therefore that has a din deraita of having uncovered hair. So once you uncover more than a tefach of hair, that's called going around with your hair uncovered. Less than a tefach, says Rav Moshe, that depends on the dasi hudit. That depends on the dasi hudit. Meaning, if you go to a place where they uncover a little sliver of hair there, and that's the dasi hudit in that place, so that's fine. Rav Moshe was not telling people they're allowed to uncover a tefach of hair. He doesn't say that. Everyone goes mad, I'm crazy. How, Rav Moshe, you think you're allowed to... He's not saying that. He's saying, if you uncover more than a tefach, it's doraisa. If, what about less than a tefach? It depends on your dasi hudit. Once there's a... What's that? It depends on your dasi hudit. Do you live in a place where the frum women of that community walk around with a thin sliver of hair uncovered? Yes or no? Is that a community norm? If the answer is yes, they do walk around like that, then shalom al Yisrael, that's fine. You're not doing anything wrong.
It's fine with halacha.
What do you mean? Halacha and Friday is the same thing, huh?
No, it's okay.
No, it's mutter. Okay, let's use that phrase. Mutter. If the dasi hudit of your community allows you to uncover less than a tefach of hair, mutter. If the dasi hudit says that people, women don't, awesome. If women want to cover more than a tefach of hair, says Rav Moshe, there's no dasi hudit that can allow that. As far as he's concerned, it's deraisa. Which is a chiddush, by the way. Who said that more than a tefach was the amount that the Kohen uncovers that makes it a deraisa? That's Rav Moshe, the chumrah. People think Rav Moshe is a kula, it's really a chumrah. He's saying more than a tefach is a deraisa. You don't necessarily have to learn that way. So that's where the whole tefach thing really comes in. There are lots of women walking around and covering loads of hair all over the place. So then you have to ask them politely. Maybe you shouldn't, but maybe if you want to, did you ask a Shiloh who said that and what? And maybe there's a svara, maybe they're coming from somewhere. But that's the problem with all of these things. In practice, a lot of the people out there are just not asking Shilohs. They're doing what they feel like. Okay, I'm not judging anybody. Everyone has their issues. But you can't then make a dasi hudis out of that. If they don't care, and they're not asking shilas, and they're not particular about the halacha, being medactic in halacha, that doesn't create a dasi hudit. That's the problem. Now you have to work out who is creating and who isn't creating a dasi hudit. You can usually kind of get a feel for it, but sometimes it's not so straightforward. In the dasi lumi community, there are women who, in Israel, there are women who are very makpid in halacha, who are asking shilas and who are doing things kedat and kedin, and there are people who are not. It's a mixed community. The truth is, that's true of every community. It's just depending on which area of halacha you're looking at. There are people who are asking shilas, and there are people who are doing what they feel like. You have to try and distinguish. Yes?
How do you do a tefach?
A tefach? So I wrote here what a tefach is. It pegs on a chazanish, or this, or that. Basically, it's 3 1/4 to 4 1/4 inches. Depends on which shita you follow.
It's usually like the fingers, like they say two fingers. Tefach is this. So a tefach across the head is like two fingers like this. That will be a tefach. Yeah? Okay, two eyes. Yeah. Who's they?
So, yeah.
A community that has a Das Yehudit that permits, there are very full women that uncover less than a tefach of hair. There's no question about it. If that's acceptable in your community, then that's acceptable. I'm not saying it's a mitzvah. You don't have to if you don't want to. But you're not doing an aveira if you do. And these women who are doing this are certainly not doing an aveira. Yeah, if the community. Yeah, around the
so, like, people who are thinking
they're
Shinkong,
right? Ah, this thing with the poof thing. What's that called? Tell me. What's it called, that thing? A fall. No, not a fall. Not a fall. The fall used to be, when I was young married, the fall used to be that you had a little bit of hair and then the shaykh starts to go down. These days, it's like the hair, they kind of take the hair and like cover the whole thing. That's uncovering more than a tefach, there's no question. I asked a number of poskim on this, including my Rav in London. They said that they're not aware of any basis in halacha for doing this. I had this shaila from a student in New York who said all the women in her community are doing this and it's very hard for not to do this. Is she allowed to do this? I went all over the place looking for heterim, trying to find for her. I couldn't find anyone. I didn't ask Rav Berkowitz, but I don't think for a second that he would say he was not. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I can't imagine it. But I'm not aware of the heter. What's the heter? Unless you're passing. No, of course not. Is it better that you eat treif out and not eat treif in? Or to make it right, I'm saying, it's better that people do as much as they can do. Of course it's better. But are you using this as a norm to say, oh, they do this, it must be mutter? The answer is lavdafka. You have to ask a shayla to someone who is... If someone comes along and says, look, I asked the Rav and he paskens that a tefach is not that long, he paskens not like Rav Moshe. Okay, but I don't think any of these women are going to tell you that. If you ask most of the women these days, again, God forbid you should judge anyone. You cannot judge. There's an issa d'oraisa to judge people in certain circumstances. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to judge people in other circumstances. I'm not getting into that now. But you can't, the Pirkei Avot says you shouldn't judge people until you've been in their situation. Okay, so then you shouldn't, you'd be judgmental, but then you can't take that as a halakhic norm, yes.
I remember last year, and Rabbi Nachman said that he said, like,
yes. Okay, that's practical advice. That's good. In all areas of sneers, you don't only need halachic advice, you need practical advice from people that are going to tell you what really works. Okay, I mean, I can't disagree with that. Okay, you have to ask people who know more about, people who have hair. I mean, I'm not in a position to talk to anyone about a tefach of anything on the hair. I can't even make a tefach of hair. So don't ask me. And ask women. Depends what kind of scarf you wear. These like Israeli women who are wearing scarves. I don't think they're slipping.
Is it also if it's an accident? You know what I'm saying?
So anytime one does anything without, look, I don't quite understand what the question is. If a person is not aware that they're doing an aveira, that is called mitasek. It's not called shogeg. It's called mitasek. If someone's not aware that they, that that's even showing, that's not called a shogeg. Okay, so then they have to put themselves in a situation where they're going to be aware. If someone leans against the light switches and turns all the lights on Shabbos, that's also mitasek. But you have to do what you can to avoid that from happening, and that's why people put little things on the light switches. Ah, but you said someone asked me, did I do an aveira? No. Ah, but that happens to me every week. The lights turn off because I lean against the wall. So why are you doing that and not being careful about it? That's why there's actually a mitzvah to check your pockets if there's no eruv before Shabbos. Ah, if you end up carrying, you didn't even know you were carrying, it's mitzvah, you didn't do aveira. Yeah, but you still have a mitzvah to try and avoid being in a situation of mitzvah if you can. So yeah, if things slip and all things go all over the place and you didn't know. But you have to, chacham ein barosha. You have to be prepared. Okay? You were just talking about Chacham Einav Baroshay, so you have to be a Chacham. Have a look at number 7, please. Ladies, that clock is constantly saying 10 to 3. So as far as I'm concerned, we're going to be here for infinity. But luckily I'm using my watch, and it's 25 to 10. Look at number 7, please. So fine, so there are halachas of Tefach and Shoik and things. Do these apply? These apply for men who are saying certain things in front of women. And we see that Rav Moshe says that a person should be covering these things in public as well. What about women in front of women? Look at number 7. Look at the Shema. Tefach the rule of the Isha. If a tefach is being covered on a woman, the Mokham Shidarka Lassosi, in a place where she normally covers it. I feel, by the way, this would apply in hair as well, in the place where she normally covers. Let's say a tefach of hair falls out of the back of her, whatever it is. That's also a tefach, okay? Something which she's not allowed to show something. Afilu he ishtoi, even if it's his wife, utterly kreis krishma kenegda. He's not allowed to say krishma. Is she allowed to open up less than a tefach? Of course not. She's not allowed to show less than a tefach. It's just that he only has a din once there is a tefach showing. Let's say a piece of her clothing comes undone here. So she's allowed to open it up as long as it's less than a tefach? Of course not. So the less than a tefach, he doesn't have this halacha of krishma. The nira l'divrei harosh, and interestingly, the remark comes with a big chumrah. The tefach be'isha erva afilu le'isha acheres. The remark comes in and says that a tefach on an isha is even an odd isha, it's the rim of erva, even for other women. Meaning, if there's a woman who is not dressed appropriately on the bus, other women are not allowed to say tehillim in front of that woman. Okay? We don't paskin like that. The minag ha-mokam, the minag ha-olam is not to paskin by the Rosh, it's to paskin by the Rashba, that a tefach and these isurim of erva are only isurim for men to say kriya shema and brochas and davening and things like that, but not for women. And that's what people rely on. That's why you see women on the bus all the time saying tehillim and stuff in front of people who are not dressed, right? But a man is not allowed to do that. This, by the way, raises all sorts of interesting shayla when it comes to kiruv. Because Rabbonim stand up in front of groups, kiruv groups, girls come in the summer, and they say to the girls, you know, could you please put on something which is like some modest dress that comes to shir? And they try, and they do, and they put on clothing which they think is more appropriate than what they would have worn, but it's nowhere even close to being dressed appropriately. There's tefachs galore. So how can he say Divrei Torah in front of her? There's an issa on the Divrei Torah, even if he's not looking, even if he's looking in the air. Even if he's got dark glasses on, and therefore, in terms of his sort of midas and his appropriate or inappropriate looking, that's not even a problem. Let's say God forbid he's blind. There's still an issa of saying Divrei Torah in front of women who are not dressed properly. So how do they do it? All the time. Yes. Difficult to start throwing around Eislas or Sashel. Eislas or Sashel is like the override button in Halacha. That's only applied by Gedolei Hador on certain circumstances for Klal Yisrael to save Torah. I've not seen that. It's there's an interesting tshuva. If you want to see an Eislas or Sashel tshuva, the famous tshuva of the Shulchan Aruch about women singing in the youth groups, where he says, can the guys be part of the whole women singing business there? You should learn that tshuva from beginning to end. At the end of the day, he goes through all these different heteran, maybe we call Isha, maybe they're singing together, Trey Kali Lo Mishamai, this, that, and the other. At the end of the day, he says, Eislas Lo Sashem. It's Eislas Lo Sashem. So, yeah, okay, he's a Shri Aish. Well, that's all they rely on. We learned through all the sukkis of Kira of Rav Berkowitz, because he worked in Eishat Torah for many, many years, and he's very much the Rav that passes on these Kira of Eish issues. There is a sukkis, and it's nothing to do with this year, but I'll tell you anyway, there is a sukkis, there's a question, are you allowed to do a small Aveira in order to help someone else do a big mitzvah? And the Halacha Paskin in Hilchos Shabbos in Mishnah Berurah Shulchan Aruch is yes. You are. You are allowed to do a small Aveira to help someone else do a big mitzvah as long as your Aveira is smaller, their mitzvah is bigger, and they're not guilty. It wasn't their fault that they're doing what they're doing right now. The Shaila came up like this. Fascinating Shaila. A man in the Middle Ages, his daughter was kidnapped on Shabbos by the church and taken away, and she was going to be kidnapped and taken away for life to be a nun, to live in a convent. He had a shayla. Is he allowed to be mechal Shabbos to get her back, to bribe the officials to get her back? If he waits till after Shabbos, it will be too late. Is he or is he not allowed to be mechal Shabbos? It's not the Kamas Nefosha. She will be very, very healthy for the rest of her life. She'll probably do better in terms of her health. in the monastery than she would living in the ghetto with the Jews.
Ah, so what's that? What's the hecha on her Shabbos? In other words, it's not Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh means someone's going to die. No one's going to die. She'll be just fine. There's no such thing. There's no such hecha on her Shabbos. I'll Pikuach the Shabbos. That, okay, you can make a new mitzvah. But that, but you know, so they asked the Rashba, and he said, no, he can't. He can't be Machal Shabbos to get her back.
Tosfos has a whole sugi there that says yes. And the Shulchan Aruch paskens that he can be Mechal Shabbos. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down, it's not because of Sekhonis Neshamas. It's because he paskens that he's allowed to do the smaller mitzvah of breaking one Shabbos to stop her from becoming converted to Christianity the rest of her life, being brought up as a non-Jewish Christian. Because it wasn't her fault. So you apply that to our scenario. You are allowed to do the quote-unquote smaller Aveira of the Issa Rabbanon of Erebus Dibur, in order to help these girls connect with Torah and mitzvahs, because again, they are not guilty of dressing in the way they're dressing. They're not doing anything wrong in their own eyes. They didn't realize, they don't know, they don't understand. It's a whole sukkah. There's no such thing, by the way, as Heter Kiruv. Oh, it's for Kiruv, it's fine, you know? Go down to a nightclub on Friday night. There's no such thing. Every single Shiloh in Kiruv has been thought through and paskened in the sukkahs. And is a very long and complicated discussion, and there are Rabbonim who work out there have been through these sukkahs very carefully to understand. And does everyone do everything just right? No, okay, it's hard to get the boundaries right, but in principle, it's all worth it. Someone had a question? Then I must go on. Yeah.
Just how does that work if you apply that same concept to someone who's like doing care of people that are off
the tariff? So then you're going to have an interesting Shiloh, which is that there were girls who were brought up from, who are now not dressed as Sanua, but Sneos, and the question is, are they, quote-unquote, Poshea or not Poshea? So that's gonna be how you analyse the sugya of off the derek and what happens, and why do people stop becoming...
You can't analyze every single person that's praying.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And that's who you have to ask a Shiloh. And I can suggest you ask Rav Berkowitz, because he's the person to ask. Or ask one of his Talmidim who have access to him. And because I remember him talking about this, and I remember him saying it's a Shiloh. and therefore each case will have to be judged appropriately. People do all sorts of things for different reasons. Now let's just finish the sheet. Okay? So he says, so we pass that the women are allowed to say things in front of other women, that's fine. We said that women are allowed to say things when that they themselves are not dressed. I'm not getting into that whole thing. Now that's definitely not our sukkah. Yeah? And then he says, Seyar bet, Seyar shall isha shadakal asesa. The hair of a woman that is normally covered. Are you a married woman? Also the cross connected, you're not allowed to say shmar. That, again, this is all in the Hilchos Kriyas Shma, davening brachos. Afilu ishtoi, even his wife, as we saw before, aval basulis, but non-married women, shadakim leleh perus rosh, who normally go around with their hair uncovered, mutsa, that's fine, because that's not the hair that they normally cover. But who had din, here's the tefach, for who had din, hasa'arot shal nashim, that's also the din for the hair of women, sharegidim letzeit michus litzmatan, that normally comes out from their braids. There's hair that sticks out, even for married women. Okay? Koshikhen Sharanachra, certainly, if a non-Jewish woman hair, or maybe he's talking about a shetel, there's a whole question as to whether you're allowed to wear a shetel or not. Is that called hair covering? I am not giving you a shear in hair covering today. It's a complete shear all in of itself. Is a shetel allowed? Is a shetel not allowed? There are many, many women who hold, like, from a psag, that you're not allowed to wear a shackle at all. And there are other women that say, essential? Not for now. Not for now at all. Let's just cover a couple of other things, and then I'll stop for questions, and you can ask me whatever. What about the issue of men looking at women? This is worthwhile getting to know, because there are halachas about this, and people sometimes get them wrong. We've seen that it's not allowed. There's an issa d'oraisa for men to look inappropriately at women. And there's number 8 is Veloy Sasuru, etc. Number 9, Amistakal Ba'arayas, Male Aldata, She'ein Bekachlum, says the Rambam, someone who stares at Arayot, at women that he's not allowed to have a relationship with. That, by the way, includes all women today, because non-married women do not go to the mikveh today, and therefore all people would be considered Arayot, and that you wouldn't be allowed to have a relationship with them. Someone who stares inappropriately, Mistakel always means stares inappropriately at these women, says the Rambam. So he thinks to himself, what did he do? He says, it's in Hilchos Tshuva. Did I have relations with this person? Did I touch them? But who Eli Yode, he doesn't realize Shari'iyat Ha'inayim, that just looking, Avon Gadol, is a very serious Aveira. Shehi Goremet Legufan Shel Arayas. Okay? Which actually leads to real Arayas. Shenemar Lois Asaruach Relevach Relevach Relevach. And this is something that men find very difficult and is something they have to work on very hard. Women have to obviously be sensitive to this as well. It's primarily the Achrayas of the men. But this whole Sugya is a very difficult one. The Rambam makes it very clear that his Histaklut is only with sexual intent. Look at number 11. Hamistakel afilu be'etzba ketan shel asher v'nitkaven lahanot, with intent to enjoy the looking. Okay? You're looking at the woman to enjoy the beauty of the woman. Commission is Dakar Mach. My therapist is as if they looked at her in the most intimate way. So are men allowed to look at women at all? So again, Mishnah Berurah deals with it in this sinner. Look at number 12. Kedai to know this. Because they're not Iri Elali Inyan is to Krishma. So far we've only been talking about Krishma. A man is not allowed to say Krishma even in front of his wife, who he is allowed to look at. The Ha'isa Hula Harbeb Soikin Nikrois Negid Hamagula Afilu Beloy Miskavin Listakulin. Even if you're not intending to stare. Avala Inyan Issa his Saklut. But says the Mishnah Berurah, second line, when it comes to the Isser of staring inappropriately, the Kule Alma Mistakel be Isha Afilu be Etz Katana, Kivin Kavin Shem Mistakel Bal Hanoi, since he's getting benefit from that. Oyder Balav, he's over on Isser, the Lois Sur Akhre Levav from Akhre Nechem. The Amruan, they say about this person, this is a bit scary, She Afilu Yesh Puyadu Torah Mas and Tovim, even if that man is someone who has Torah and Mas and Tovim, Lo Yinakem Idina Shel Gehenem. He won't escape from Gehenem. And the Rambam says it's one of the things it's very hard to do tshuva for, because men don't realize that it's a problem. All they think, well, what did I do? I never did anything, I just looked. And the answer is, it's a problem. V'ri'iya ba'alma, says the Mishnah Berurah, but what about just looking? You know, people, your teachers, they look at you, they say hello, goodbye, good morning, whatever it is. People looking ba'ri'iya ba'alma, says the Mishnah Berurah, lefi kumoy, looking in an innocent way. Beloy ne'ene, without any kind of inappropriate kavana. Showing. He said, that's Musa. A man is allowed to look at a woman, even an erva, in someone in a way, as long as it's not inappropriate. In loy mitzad ha-Musa, unless there's a, like, mitzad Musa, lifni mishur esadin, midat chasidut, he wants to be careful not to. And then he says, ubesefa minchat shmul, hochiach the adam chashev, if a person is an adam chashev, someone who represents Torah on some level, yesh lo lizar b'kol gavna, he should be careful, not even to look at women at all. But don't forget, guys, this is an inyan of a midat chasidut, which may be appropriate for the man, but like all midat chasidut, has to be weighed very carefully. Meaning, a man is not allowed to look at women in an inappropriate way. But to not look at her at all, if that's going to cause a lot of embarrassment, irritation, upset, etc. So he has to weigh that very, very carefully in the Mishkan HaChassidut. Like the Mesilas Yesharim says, that when you want to take on a Midat Chassidut, then you always have to weigh the upsides and the downsides. When it comes to Halacha, Halacha is Halacha. There's nothing to be weighed. What are you weighing? If it's Osir, it's Osir. But when it comes to the extras, then you have to weigh it. Meaning, I've had a situation where girls have said to me, why do these people invite me to Shabbos when the whole Shabbos the man didn't look at me at all? Okay? So from his perspective, maybe he wants to be Makayim the Midat Chassidut, he doesn't want to look even Re'iya Ba'alma. But then you have to think, well, why is he inviting girls for Shabbos if he wants to do that? Invite boys for Shabbos, it's going to cause a lot less trouble. Okay, fine, whatever, obviously people have worked these things out, but I know a woman with a bit of a sharp wit in London, from Woburn, who a guy once came collecting for her, from her, and he sat down and talked to her, and he looked at the wall while he talked to her. She was sitting there, and he was looking at the wall, and she said to him, look, she said, I'd rather you looked at me and thought about the wall, and looked at the wall and thought about me. Is that okay? And he didn't quite know what to make about that. But at the end of the day, it was a little bit, a bit harsh. I'm not setting this up as a model of that you should follow. But I'm just saying that you may know that some women get very upset about this. You may yourselves get upset about this. I'm just saying that mitzad halacha, there is no issa of a man to look at a woman in a way which is appropriate. But there is a bit of chassidut, and therefore has to be weighed up. And he says, at the end, the concept of regarding the melukaima shidera kliyos mechusa, a place of a woman that normally has to be covered,
kagon zrotel, like our arms, etc., etc., then there's an issa of even re'ir ba'alma, meaning if this guy does have a heter to teach Torah to this group, he's going to have to make sure he's looking, you know, at people's faces, which is again a tricky thing to do. Rav Berkowitz has this thing that he looks at women without looking at them directly. He kind of looks just like there, and he does it really well. But I can't do it. But I practice. I've tried. I sat with my wife and looked at her and said, "Can you tell that I'm looking at you or not looking at you and what have you?" But whatever. He's like practice this. Yeah. There's no men here. I understand that. I won't take that as an insult. That's fine. I can deal with the personal issues. Yeah. But carry on. Yeah. No. I want to hear. Okay. Right. Right. Okay. Did that bother you? Or he did it very appropriately? Okay. That sounds like he was done nicely. Right. In other words, you see that the man is clearly focused on the issue. He's doing it in a way which is respectful and sensitive to your thoughts and feelings. And it works well. It's possible to be shomer mitzvahs and be sensitive in adon l'chaver and also be mekayem in adon l'malchut. It's clearly possible to do that. People don't always get it right. Okay, so they have to work harder and make sure they get it right. Okay, fine. So that's re'iyah. The last little point which I just want to make on the last page is as follows. There's lifnei iver. Lifnei iver is clearly a sugya. I'm not going to get into it. It is not the sugya of sneers, but it is a sugya in sneers, meaning sugya generally, you have to be sensitive. Everyone has to be sensitive not to cause other people to do aveiros. I think it's, as I said in the first year, I think it's very inappropriate when hilchas sneers is presented to women as a litany in their sugya, because it's not right either. And it's also wrong, I think, just psychologically, psychologically, that women should think that the reason the Torah puts these, you know, whatever it is, restrictions, if you want to see like that on them, is to stop men from doing aveiros. That is not true. That is a sensitivity that people should have generally, but is not the reason why those halachas are. I think hopefully by now you should understand that that's not the case. But you shouldn't belittle litnei iver. It is an important sugya and something to be sensitive to. And as I said, men also have to be sensitive to this as well. And finally, as I put at the end here, avas reim, there is a bein adam l'chaveiro. And we were just alluding to it now. There is a mitzvah v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, that you should never be treating people in a way that you wouldn't want to be treated. And that goes both ways. I don't think it should be excluded from the sugya of sneers. Men have to be sensitive in how they deal with women, not throw chairs and tables across the machitza at the kotel, like I told you in the first week, where this nice chap was throwing water all over the girls that were dancing on the other side of the kotel and said he wanted to throw chairs and tables. And that's not right either. Men have to be sensitive to women who are not dressed appropriately, and women have to be sensitive to men and other women in the way that they dress, because women who are dressing appropriately offend other women as well, if you're in a place where women will find that upsetting or personally offensive. And that's clearly a sugi that goes across this whole issue as well. And if people hopefully dealt with that with more sensitivity, you would solve a lot of the problems before you even started getting to halach. So I think the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro has to be stressed too, in both directions. So that, I think, is the structure of the sugi. If you understand those three things, number one, the basic Torah mitzvah by Yavach and Echad Kadosh, in the Beit in the bathroom, in the marital bedroom, etc. Don't behave in private in a way that you wouldn't want people to think you behave, because who are you trying to kid? You should have a sensitivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gives you a dignity. Very subjective, etc. Number one. Number two, objective halachic norms in public called Das Yehudit, Das Moshe, that determine how people dress, women specifically, perhaps men as well, determined by community. Okay? Then thirdly, the issue of erava, that once you've worked out how everyone's meant to be dressed, either inside or outside, then you have issues of erava, which is people who are not covered, perhaps correctly not covered, inside the house, they don't have to cover, fine. Then there are other people who are looking at them and may have issues of erava, of brochas, of davening, etc., etc., which requires to be taken into account as well. If you get that structure clear in your head, I think that you will approach tzniut in a halakhic way. Like I said at the very beginning, this is not the whole picture. Of course, you also have to speak to people about the personal issues with tzniut and the women-to-women issues on tzniut and the practical issues of tzniut and the, like you were saying before, what should you do? These are issues you don't go to rabbis for. You go to mentors who you trust and you admire and women who can help you to be role models, etc. That's critical too. But you can't ignore the halachas. And that's part of the problem, that people see Shabbos, Kashrus, whatever it is, as halachically structured areas. But tzniut is all kind of fluffy and airy-fairy and people making up as they go along. That's not true. I hope I've shown you enough to show you that that's not true, that there is a structure. And if you have both of those in mind, then hopefully it'll be... it's not an easy area. Everybody finds it. I mean, all the women I've spoken to that have been honest with me, I think, have said that they found this challenging. Of course they do. Mikum tsara agra, the things in life that we find most challenging are the areas where we acquire our schar and really make the growth. That's true for everybody in different areas. So I wish everybody a lot of hatzlacha. You're at the end of a year and a half of intensive learning. I hope that whatever you've learnt in your year and a half, wherever you've learnt it, has been helpful and useful. And not only have you charged your batteries, but hopefully they've given you a rechargeable battery that you can go away and you can really keep that going, which will be very difficult. Do not underestimate how difficult that will be. But it will be doable because there are people that do it. So I hope to see you at some stage in the future, probably somewhere else. I wish you a lot of hatzlacha. Thank you again for having me. I'm happy to answer questions if you have any. Colors?